So, Pat, once again, welcome to the studio. Welcome to Near FM and to Lifeline. And we thought we'd come in and have a chat today because I think your story is quite an interesting one. I think it's fair to say that you've transformed your life in many ways, physically and in other ways. But let's just start with your weight, I suppose. That's the first more obvious thing to, to people when they see a change. So, if you let us know, how heavy were you at your heaviest?
At the, well, about 5 years ago, I would have been around 23 stone, which, and I'm quite tall, so maybe people wouldn't have thought I was that heavy, but I was that heavy.
Where'd you get 6 foot? 23 stone?
Yeah, and at six, just over 6 foot, So, but certainly it's obviously very bad. And I was coming up to my, it was about 2 years off my 50th birthday, and I think it's fair to say I'd kind of end up in a kind of a rut or kind of resigned to that was my fate really for, and a good friend of mine, we had a good chat once at a time around April 2010, I think it was, and a few home truths were spoken, and it still took me a while to actually do anything about it. It was around September of that year that I actually actively started doing something about it, but over the following couple of years, things started to happen and things, but the, probably the biggest change, obviously over the years, like I've been a skinny kid, like as a small child, quite, in fact, there's photographs of me with, at 7 or 8 with knobbly knees, and but it was in primary school, and then in secondary school, it was when the weight was going on. And over the years, I've obviously done lots of diets and joined Weight Watchers and did various things, and once I did a sponsored diet, which raised money for the hospice in Harold's Cross, which was a fantastic thing to do, but the weight went back on. What I'd never done all of those times was actually look behind the physical to the mental. So on this occasion, the big difference, I think, was that I decided it was time to look at the mental side. So what was really driving the weight gain, or the not weight gain, but the maintenance of the gain, of the heaviness. So that was one of the big changes on this occasion.
Great. And so, if you tell the listeners, what sort of weight are you now from 23?
So, down to, no, actually, I have to admit, in the last couple of weeks, a couple of months, things have been less accurate.
Right?
But I got down, basically lost 6.5 stone, basically.
Yeah.
So,
do the maths on that, so you're around 15, is it, or 16?
A little bit more than that at the moment, but that's about it,
And how do you feel with that? I mean, were you, because some people are, you know, they're a bit heavier and they're okay with it. They're
happy, well, I suppose the cliche is a jolly, happy, fat person.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And in fact, I suppose it's fair to say I wasn't a sad person. I wasn't unhappy most of the time anyway. So perhaps I was a bit lonely, but I certainly had plenty of things. I did plenty of things and had lots of interests. Mostly things, sort of, kind of solitary things. So I would do things on my own. I didn't really get out and about as much, other than going to work and so on, which was obviously had to be done. But not an unsociable person, I think it's fair to say, and got lots of friends and acquaintances and things, you know. So, but kind of retreated, and there was sort of a family reasons for that to some degree, but in the last 10 years, as I say, I had kind of come resigned to being overweight and being alone and so on.
Okay. And I mean, did you realize you were obese? I mean, obviously, I mean, you could see that, but did you think you had a problem, or you're happy enough with it, or what sort of triggered the change?
When I say the change, I say was the fact that this big birthday was looming in a couple of years ahead, and I was this thought that you don't want to reach that sort of milestone age, and sort of not basically wanted to be, I wanted to make some effort to change to try and turn things around a bit. So one of the things I did was went for counselling, which was in town in the counselling centre, and that was interesting. It was basically gave me a chance to talk about myself for an hour every week non-stop, which was that was fun, and so that in itself was interesting, but it wasn't particularly beneficial, but it was, well, it was beneficial to some degree. Then I tried some other I might say, more alternative kind of counselling type things. One person I went to see was a lady called Emma Tamplin down in British Bay, I think is where she is.
Yeah.
And I think Emma is more into sort of relationship counselling and so on, but also more spiritual. And that was like 1 hour that was actually very, very helpful to me. And one of the, a few things came out of that, but one of them was she said I needed to have more fun. And I would say, oh, well, actually, I was having plenty of fun, but in fact, I wasn't really having that much fun. So, arising out of that, I actually did go out to have more fun.
Mm.
And it's something I actually now say to a lot of people when they're thinking about this, was that you need to put more fun in your life. There's actually space there. You don't have to be miserable all the time. You don't have to be. And also, you don't have to feel guilty about having fun. And it can be something silly, it can be something significant, it doesn't matter, but just enjoy it, you know.
Excellent. So where did you go looking for the fun? Did you find it?
Well, the first step was I thought I would try dancing, which right. I always felt I had a sense of rhythm. Music is a very big thing for me anyway, but so I did do dancing lessons, ballroom dancing, which tough on the knees, I have to say, but the jive especially. And now the particular class I went to didn't have any real social element to it, so I basically went for an hour every week, did your dance class, and then everyone dispersed and there was no follow-up. I know there are classes where there is a social element, so I think if you're going to do dancing, try and find one where after the class then it continues on with more of a social thing. That was okay, not really my thing. The next thing I did was I tried acting. An acting class. That I found fantastic. That was one of the best things I could have done. And so it was one of my issues over the years was being very, basically I kept it all in. That's my whole thing over the years is, and then metaphorically I suppose that's what was happening with the weight was that I was keeping it all in and didn't have an outlet really for, I didn't really find my voice really to some degree. So in this sort of safe atmosphere of an acting class, which was mostly improvised and mostly quite a funny little scenarios, I found I was actually able to let it out and adopt a character or just raise my voice and shout and scream and do whatever I wanted to do and hopefully get a laugh at the same time quite often. So that was a very therapeutic thing to do. And then I suppose the third part of the thing was I say music was always a big issue for me, a big thing. It is and still is. I'm playing music, but I've never really gone out and played music with other people. So I found, first of all, I found an instrument that I could actually master, which was the ukulele. And then I found a group of ukulele players in Dunleary and joined them. Actually, about 2 years ago, this week, I think it was. And suddenly found making music with other people instead of, so in metaphorically speaking, making music is what has really turned things in the last couple of years around for me. And
I suppose the theme that seems to be coming through that is maybe finding your voice as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is a theme in the music and also in the acting.
That's right, absolutely. And I do think about one of the things about the dancing was to try and actually just thinking about physical touch, which so basically I've been a very isolated kind of person, really. You know, there are plenty of people in my life, but there was no real physical closeness there. So the dancing and the acting, and then those things all led, to that opening up, a flowering, if you will, a blooming, late in life. Not that late, actually, but late enough. But in the nick of time, I suppose you would say.
Yeah, well, better late than never, isn't that what they say?
Absolutely.
Very interesting stuff, Pat. Yeah. So, Pat, we were speaking there before that music, piece of music there about your transformation. Mm. And you were saying you made a resolution to get out there and have more fun and, I suppose, loosen up and lighten up. And that day is coming up on Friday. It's World Loosen Up, Lighten Up Day. Yeah. So that's probably good advice to give to people.
Yeah.
Just wanted to ask you again about the acting, because that's something I've tried as well.
Mm.
And it occurred to me with the acting that it's very it's very rare that we're ever given permission to really be silly, you know, and to really let go. Yes. And I suppose with the acting, you have that permission, and you kind of have to be, don't you, because everybody else is.
Well, in this particular class, it's basically an improv class, so you're actually encouraged to do ridiculous things, and the sillier the better. And it is very, very, very liberating, very therapeutic to actually be able to do that. Because I think we're so constrained, I think, in life, that you don't step out of line, you don't say, well, obviously there's time and a place, but you don't do inappropriate things. And here's a chance to do exactly that and not feel guilty or feel that there's somebody looking down on you or tutting or so, yeah, and that's, I think.
And you think about, you know, finding your voice. We were talking about that, and we were talking about it last week with Jerry French, who's a Toastmaster speaker, and he was saying the same thing about, you know, maybe as kids, especially in Ireland, you know, we're at the dinner table and we're told to be quiet and told to shut up. And do you think that's it comes from your childhood often?
It is. Very well, certainly in my case, I was a small in the family. My parents, I was the youngest in a family of four. My parents were both older, as Stuart Francis would say. But again, so it was a small family, but they were sort of loud. They were very voluble. And I was a quiet one in the corner very often, and I was known for being the quiet one in the family. And I kind of retreated literally into a corner, put my headphones on, and listened to music and radio, and read. And I retreated into like a world of my own imagination, really, which is in other areas has proved beneficial, as it turns out. But certainly it didn't meant I wasn't brilliant at interacting with people and the other thing, even now, I'm not great at making small talk with people in groups. I mean, I'm better now than I was, but that was, I always found that an issue, sort of engaging with people. And so it would always tend to hold back and not make the first move in a group, even in a group situation, even amongst people I'd know. You know? So, but now I would actually feel much more confident being able, that I actually have something to say, and that it's actually what I have to say is as important as what anyone else has to say.
Yeah. And so would you put that, would you put it back to the weight loss? Would you say that sort of triggered a whole series of events? Did it start with that and the awareness around maybe why you were eating? Did it, maybe just asking about your weight loss. How did your eating habits change? Maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, well, the fundamental thing was, I stopped buying things that weren't good for me. That was the first thing to do. Yeah. So I discovered, for example, that I didn't need chocolate every day. In fact, it wasn't... I know it's a shock horror.
Yeah.
I know we're only so-and-so from Cadbury's, but sorry about that. Yeah. But there was a time when I would just buy it, and it was there, and I would eat it. I discovered that if I didn't buy it, I didn't actually miss it. It's a curious thing. And the same with all the snack foods and all, which are... And I am a picker and a nibbler and by nature, I suppose I always will be, but I suppose the thing is to try and substitute that for something a little less damaging. So then a bit more exercise. I'd have to say I didn't do a huge amount more exercise, maybe two or three times a week in the gym, got a bike, and I was out that occasionally, not regularly. Did a fair bit of walking, I have to say, but not... So basically it was a combination of things. But I actually think the mental side for me was the big thing, because it meant I would actually think twice about when it came to snacking or nibbling or overeating.
And did you find, as you lost weight, did you find that gave you then more confidence to go out and mix?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the great thing about once you start losing weight, it is the thing that keeps you going when you see the actual results. And then you have people commenting. And then actually a big thing that just occurred to me was that I did have a consultation with about my clothes. And clearly, at the time, at my worst, I had to go to like the big and tall shop out in Goatstown. And that was... And the guy there is a really nice guy, but having to go there to get jeans to fit you, you know, it's kind of gives you pause for thought for sure, you know. So basically, I also started dressing better and more appropriate for my... And that was a big thing as well. But yes, basically the whole thing meant I was able to get out and engage with people a bit better. and it's like it's the opposite of a circle. The opposite of a vicious circle is a kindness circle.
It's the ball that gathers.
Exactly.
Yeah, one of those things. Yeah.
Yes. Snowball.
Snowball effect. Yeah. Snowball effect. That's it. Yes. Yeah. And so that's very interesting. And would you say then that the reason the weight has stayed off this time is because you tackled it? You looked at the mental side of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So that's. Yeah, absolutely. That was the thing. So I now know why I was doing that, doing those things, why I was retreating into that kind of isolation and sort of. It's to do with I know to say it's getting gratification or approval in some way by. And one way to do it is to feel satisfied through food. And that's the way that happens.
So how do you feel now? I mean, how would you say your life has changed if you were to look at it, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah. Well, I think the 4 or 5 years, back then there was, there was a resignation. There was a sense of, I wasn't sad or hesitate to use any words, that would say I was bitter or angry or anything. I don't think I was, but I definitely lost focus on the future. And I think what I now have is focus on the future and looking forward, and things are good at the moment. Yeah, things are very good.
Good. Would you ever have imagined that you'd be where you are today?
This is the thing. Like back then, I'd actually stopped thinking to where I am today. I'd actually stopped, and I'd effectively given up. To some degree, so I never would have actually. Yeah. So if it hadn't been for that conversation that time in 2010, and then the birthday on the horizon, and different factors that sort of came together, and I suppose a resolution to actually do something, and I actually did it, and that's where we are today.
So finally, then, what advice would you give to somebody who is maybe feeling a bit stuck, or who feels that for some reason they can't change or doesn't see any hope, as somebody who's, it's fair to say, like you've transformed your life to a large degree and pulled yourself out of a bit of a hole you were in. So what advice could you give to people?
So, I would say, first of all, don't be so hard on yourself. I would say, first of all, I think maybe I was. I know people like that tend to be very hard on themselves, and they don't give themselves any leeway. They really need to, one of the best pieces of advice I got was just forgive yourself for. You made a mistake. Don't. The world is tough enough without you.
Beat yourself up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't be so hard on yourself. Maybe, and as you say, lighten up, loosen up. That's all very well, but I think you are allowed to have fun. There is joy out there to be had if you can look for it. And you'd be amazed what it could be. One of the big things I know is walking. There's loads of things out on meetup walks and meeting people and getting together with like-minded individuals. And there's bound to be something out there for you if you just allow yourself the thought that maybe you could actually be happy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all about getting happy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen, Pat, it's been great to have you in the studio today. It's been an inspiration in many ways. And all I can say is keep it up, because it's obviously working. And hopefully in some way we've inspired somebody out there, touched somebody in some way. So thanks, Pat, for coming in.
Thank you, Paul.